It goes to the heart of the gospel message to recognize that while we were sinners, God loved the godly, God loved the sinners, and sent His Son. It was a call from heaven, and we certainly appreciate that and think about it all the time. I started a lesson this morning. I'd like to finish tonight. It had to do with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Many, many subjects about the Holy Spirit, and this is not going to be a full lesson and full study about that because it would take more time than we've allotted to it. While we recognize the baptismal measure of the Holy Spirit, we talked about that in class this morning in Acts chapter 2, recognize that the baptismal measure of the Holy Spirit was never intended for all of mankind. I mentioned the lady on the radio that were heard years ago, and she said that Acts 2 was the time when the power was given, and the power was given to 3,000 people out in the old streets of Jerusalem at 3 in the morning. And it's such a dismal ignorance that I really felt bad about it, yet it had its comical aspect to it as well. There were 3,000 people there, but not 3,000 received the baptism measure of the Holy Spirit. The confusion about that, of course, continues, and we have the same problem with regard to the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. I suppose that every aspect of the work of the Holy Spirit is controversial somewhere. But the way that I wanted to approach that this morning and this evening was to emphasize what a blessing it is that God has made a provision for us to be in fellowship with Him. When we speak of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, we're talking about fellowship with God. It is stated in the Bible that God dwells in us, that the Holy Spirit dwells in us, and that Jesus dwells in us. We're not saying that that's a location, that He personally dwells with us, but that it works by faith. And among even our brethren, there are some people who take the idea that the Holy Spirit leads and guides above and beyond the Word of God. I need to make it very clear that's not true. The Bible does not teach the Holy Spirit leads and guides above the Word of God. Even some brethren have taught that in the near distant past, and I remember being surprised that the ones that taught it was a father and son who both preached, and they were talking about the Holy Spirit speaking to them. And that's not what the Bible teaches at all. As we looked at this morning, as we closed, I used this particular slide to indicate that the Holy Spirit uses the Word as the means of accomplishing His purposes. So we notice in Ephesians 6 and verse 17 that the Apostle Paul said the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We understand that a soldier or someone uses a sword to accomplish its purpose. I then use the illustration of the woodsman who was going to chop down a tree. He wouldn't use his hands, but it could be said of him that he chopped down the tree when he used the facility of the axe. And so you understand that the axe was the tool the human used to chop down a tree. When you start talking about the Holy Spirit then, the Holy Spirit uses the Word of God to accomplish the things that He wants to do. We mentioned the fact that some would say that they'd rather have the feeling in their chest than a stack of Bibles. Well, they misunderstand the work of the Holy Spirit when they say that. The next two charts I want to show you shows quite clearly that what the Holy Spirit does, the Word does. Now, I want to be very precise. I'm not saying that the Holy Spirit is the Word. I'm saying the Spirit uses the Word. And what can be said of the Spirit can also be said of the Word. We won't spend a lot of time on each of these individual things, but we need to recognize that in the Bible, when it is said the Spirit does things, we also find passages that say the Word does that. So we were using Colossians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, and Ephesians 5 this morning, as we noted that as Paul said in Colossians, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. The way the Holy Spirit then dwells in us is not some mystical, magical way, but rather through the Word of God. And as we accept the Word of God by faith, Romans 10, 17, then as we let the Word of God lead us and guide us through the Scriptures, then that's the Holy Spirit leading and guiding us. And we can be very clear about that, that this is the effect of that. And so this is a chart that someone prepared a long time ago. The Holy Spirit witnesses, we're told in Romans chapter 8 and verse 15. But at the same time, in John chapter 5, the Word witnesses. So we're just going to, without going into each of the Scriptures, going to notice that all of these various things, for example, the Holy Spirit is going to teach and instruct, we're told in John 14, when Jesus was talking about the Holy Spirit coming to the apostles, He was going to lead you into the truth and remind you of all the things that he'd been taught. And so the same thing is done by the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 15 through 17. The Holy Spirit was to instruct the apostles and guide them into all truth. Now then, the Bible is a summation of all truth. And we're able to know that when we follow the Scriptures, we're following the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was said in John chapter 16 to convict the sinner. Well, we understand that the Holy Spirit does not do that with a zap. He doesn't do that directly, but He does it through the Word, and we're convicted by the Word of God. And we saw that in Acts chapter 2 when the apostles preached in Acts 2 and laid upon the people their sin of crucifying the Son of God. They said, "What shall we do?" It convicted them. Well, that was the Holy Spirit working through the Word to bring about conviction of sin. Now, the same thing takes place today when we read the Bible and we're doing something that's wrong, and I recognize from the Word of God that I've done something wrong, then the Holy Spirit convicts me of sin as the Word is taught me, and I understand that. We're told also that the Holy Spirit would give us new birth. John chapter 3 with Nicodemus and the new birth. But when you turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, 22 and 23, it is the Word that brings about a new birth. We're born by the incorruptible Word of God. So what you're saying about the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit works through the Word to accomplish these things. But it is said that you're born of the Spirit. Same thing is true with regard to saving mankind. The Holy Spirit is going to save us, but He does it, James chapter 1 and verse 21 says, by the Word of God. Receive the implanted Word, which is able to save your souls. Why is the Bible able to save your souls? Because it is the Spirit message. Romans 15 verse 16, the Holy Spirit is said to sanctify us. And then in John 17 verse 17, Jesus said that you're sanctified by the Word, sanctifying the truth. So the Holy Spirit uses the Bible to bring about the effects that you see under the Word of God. Same thing is true about cleansing mankind. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 talks about the Holy Spirit cleansing us. But in John 15 and verse 3, it is the Word of God that cleanses us. You're clean, Jesus said, because of the Word that I've spoken unto you. Then in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, again, as the list of the sins of the Corinthians are listed, he also talked about the fact that you were this, but you became sanctified, you were justified. And then in Galatians 2 verse 16, we're justified by the Word of God. So this repeats itself a number of times to prove that when you speak of the Holy Spirit doing something, it is the Spirit doing it, but He's doing it by the facility of the Word of God. Just like a man goes into the forest to cut down a tree, he cuts the tree down, but he does it by the axe. So the Holy Spirit is working, and I believe He's working today through the Word in order to bring about the desired result. Then He said, we've noticed this morning, He dwells in man, Romans 8 and verse 9, and yet Colossians 3 verse 16 and 17 says He does that through letting the words of Christ dwell in you richly. Now there's another chart that I'd like to use in the same sort of understanding. He's talking about what the Holy Spirit does. But when the Holy Spirit does this, He does it through the Word of God. So in Acts chapter 9 and verse 31, He brings comfort, but that comfort is also brought by the Word of God. We're comforted as we read the Scriptures and understand that the Holy Spirit is bringing us peace. And He leads and guides us, Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. Then when you read Psalms 119, you find out the Word of God is leading us. I want to emphasize again tonight, as I did this morning, I fully believe in being led by the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to back away from that statement. I'm not going to ignore that statement. We see Pentecostals that make that claim. And of course, they're making a claim that the Holy Spirit dwells in them in some miraculous way. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Holy Spirit guides and leads us through the Word of God. I mentioned, for example, Acts 2:38. When I was a young fella and I read what the Bible said about repent, be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, I did that because I was being led by the Spirit. All my life then, as I read the Bible and understand what kind of life I'm to lead, I'm led by the Spirit. I'm led to turn away from cursing. I turn away from alcohol. I turn away from immorality. Why? Because I'm led by the Spirit. What do I mean by that? Because I've read the Bible. The Holy Spirit works through the Bible to cause us to have the effect that God wants in us, and we're seeing that in these passages. Romans 15 and verse 13, the Holy Spirit has power. Pardon me, but we also see in Romans 1:16 that the power of God unto salvation is the gospel of Christ. That's not a contradiction, that's an explanation. And so the Holy Spirit is the one that brings the Word that saves us. Every person that has ever been saved under the gospel dispensation has been saved by the power of the gospel, because the Holy Spirit was using the gospel to convict us of sin and lead us into the truth. Then, of course, it tells us in Romans 15, verse 13, that we have hope through the Spirit. And in chapter 15, verse 4, the Word of God does that as well. Which of us has not been encouraged by reading the Psalms, as we do here in the assemblies? Which of us has not been encouraged at dark times of our life, when the Word of God has built us up and strengthened us and given us hope, so that Paul could talk about the peace that passes understanding? There are times when we're down, we're out, we're discouraged, we're dismayed, and yet the Word of God has that power to lift us up. Why is that? Because the Holy Spirit is doing that through the Word. Then we talk about it giving life, John 6, verse 63. The Holy Spirit does that, but John 6, verse 68 says the Word of God gives us life. The same thing is true with regard to liberty, and the fact that the Holy Spirit calls us. Yes, we sang the song, the call of Zion. That's because of the Holy Spirit. And it started in Acts chapter 2, and is still doing that. And so we're called in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 14, we're called by the gospel. Again, that's not a contradiction, but that's an explanation. The call that we received from heaven that we might be saved came through the Holy Spirit. But it was used through the medium of the Word so that we would understand how I'm being called. Every time the gospel is preached, the Holy Spirit is calling someone to be saved. And then the Holy Spirit bears fruit. Well, we find that out in chapter 5. That's called the fruit of the Spirit. There's a real sense in which we cannot bear the fruit, rather the Holy Spirit causes us to bear the fruit. But we find in Luke chapter 8 that we are led by the Word of God, which is a seed. And the seed leads us to do those kinds of things. Then we're to walk in the Spirit. We read this morning Galatians chapter 5. We're to walk in the Spirit. And then we're to walk in the Word. And 2 John 9 teaches the same thing. All of these are used, brethren, to explain how the Holy Spirit leads and guides us. And we need to have a dependence upon that. But when I have my Bible, I recognize this is a book in print. But within the idea of the Word came from God through the Holy Spirit. And the Word is able. Acts chapter 20, when Paul talked to the elders at Ephesus, he said, to receive the Word of God, which is able to lift you up and give you a home among those that are sanctified. So the Word of God is able to do that. And I recognize that that can help me when I'm by myself. I think God has arranged the assemblies for us to be strengthened and encouraged and edified by one another. But there are times when I'm at home by myself, when I'm doing things by myself. And if I'm aware of the Word of God and understand the Word of God, it can also serve the purpose of lifting me up, giving me hope, giving me comfort, and to recognize that these things are directed by God Himself. So as we close, and this is the closing of this particular lesson, we'll talk about for just a moment the consequences that people who claim they have the literal indwelling. Now, notice the distinction. I believe in the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, as we've explained, through the Word of God that lives in you richly, Colossians 3:16. But there are those who say that the Holy Spirit lives in you personally. And, of course, they're caught with a problem about that, because if the Holy Spirit dwells in you personally, so does Jesus Christ dwell in you personally. And then you've got God dwelling in you personally, because we noted 1 John this morning, chapter 4, where God abides in us and we abide in God. He's not saying that God is literally inside my body. Rather, the influence of God through the Word of God leads and guides me. And when we hold that view that the Holy Spirit dwells in me personally, it means then the written Word becomes insufficient. And I've noticed every time that somebody begins to claim the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in a personal way, they turn away from the Word of God. How many times have the Pentecostal people said what I said this morning? I'd rather have the feeling that I do here than a stack of Bibles. They're claiming then that the Word of God is in them so that they don't need the Word of God. And that's a contradiction of terms and a contradiction of what the Holy Spirit does. So it never is the case where we have the Holy Spirit living in us so that we become independent from the Bible. And we need to recognize our dependence upon the Word of God for the Spirit dwelling in us. And the influence of that Spirit is going to cause tremendous change in the way we think and the way we talk and the way we live. So it's not true that the written Word becomes insufficient. But when people talk about that, then of course that would be true. Then when they began to rely upon these subjective feelings, that this is something, they confuse what they feel with it being the Holy Spirit. And people will say, well, the Holy Spirit did this and the Holy Spirit did that, when in effect it's been nothing but themselves and the way they feel. So it tends to get people to be emotional, so that you really cannot teach them the Word of God. I've tried to talk to people of the Pentecostal persuasion. Very difficult then for them to accept the Bible and what the Bible says. They say, well, I just don't feel that. I just don't understand it that way. And I feel like it ought to be this way. And what they're going on is their feelings, rather, partly than what the Bible actually teaches. You've had people that turn away from the Bible because they don't want the Bible that contradicts their feelings and their emotions. Then, of course, if it's true that the Holy Spirit is dwelling personally in people and speaking to them above and beyond the Word of God, it means that the age of miracles has not ceased. It's not at all strange to find somebody that can say, I can work miracles, or I can speak in tongues, or I can perform wonders, because they've confused the work of the Holy Spirit with something within themselves. I deny that anybody today can talk in tongues as they did in Acts 2. I challenge anybody to be able to claim that. I would debate on that because what the Bible says. I challenge anybody to be able to work a miracle today. If they can work a miracle today because the Holy Spirit dwells in them, then they would be able to raise the dead, because Jesus did that through the Spirit. And we have people today who even claim to be able to raise the dead, but they've never been able to do it in public. So all these kinds of things are something that is bothersome when people are believing that they have the Holy Spirit dwelling in them personally. And in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, it talked about Jesus Christ being called Emmanuel, that is, God with you. Well, some then are saying that God is in them, and they're able to have all kinds of ideas and theories because of God being in them. These are some of the problems that you come to when people forget the meaning of the Holy Spirit dwelling in them, Colossians 3:16 and 17, and try to assert that they are Emmanuel, God with them. And that's the way it's happened on many occasions. Well, that's pretty much the lesson then for today. It really is an important lesson, because the world is so confused about the Holy Spirit. As I said this morning, what God has planned as a blessing in the life of mankind, which is the work of the Holy Spirit, it has become confusing because people will not let the Holy Spirit describe His own work. The only thing that I know about the Holy Spirit and His work is what the Bible tells me. But when I get through having read the Bible, that is what God wants me to know about the Holy Spirit. And I cannot work miracles, I cannot speak in tongues, because that age has been finished and God's work is finished along those lines. But here's the promise to the children of God. And of course there are other areas we haven't discussed, such as the seal of the Spirit and the meaning of those things. But what I'm saying tonight is it's a wonderful blessing to know that Jesus Christ has made it possible through His sacrifice and God the Father to allow the Holy Spirit to dwell in us, to give us hope, to bring us comfort, to lead and guide us, and help us on the road to heaven. If we make it to heaven, we say it's going to be because of grace and mercy of God. Well, that's true. And the reason why we have the grace and mercy of God is because He's provided the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us in that direction that we ought to go. Again this evening, I know that we're all Christians, but if we have any need of prayer or of anything that might bring you closer to God or take sin out of your life, we'd like to encourage you to come to the front while we stand together and while we sing.